The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching the program The Second Caliph of Islam, Umar bin Khattab, رضي الله عنه, in which we talk about the seerah of the leader of the faithful, the second caliph of Islam, Umar bin Khattab, رضي الله عنه, and enrich our hearts with his further love and eminence. Currently, dear viewers, we're talking about the affairs of the caliphate of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, what remarkable achievements he attained during his reign, what affairs he initiated during his reign. And we're trying to get a gist, an idea of the greatness of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, through which he ruled over 2 million square miles of land. Today, dear viewers, we'll talk about the element of preserving ilm, knowledge, the protection of knowledge, how Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu protected knowledge during his caliphate, and what protocols he implemented, he executed in order to not only preserve knowledge, but also to propagate it, to make sure that no amended element gets involved within knowledge, within religion, and the religion is conveyed ahead, propagated ahead in its purest form. So today we'll talk about some of the remarkable feats that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu adopted in order to preserve knowledge of Islam. First of all, dear viewers, let's listen to a virtue of sending peace and salutation upon the noble prophet, the final messenger of Allah, the seal of the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stated in a hadith that he who sends salat 1,000 times a day will not die until he sees his abode in paradise. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So dear viewers, we're talking about the preservation of knowledge during the caliphate of Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu. Now dear viewers, Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu himself, he was a very great scholar. He himself was at the peak of knowledge from a personal perspective as well. He was one of the greatest ulama of this ummah, as he radiallahu anhu acquired knowledge directly from the beloved of Allah, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was also amongst the scribes of the Prophet, the katibin of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that when the verses of Quran would be revealed upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was amongst those individuals who would write down those wahis, those revelations which the Prophet ﷺ would dictate to them. So you can imagine that what amount of knowledge, what level of knowledge Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu would possess, that he would write down the revelations that were revealed upon the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ also taught knowledge to Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu himself. Furthermore, dear viewers, during the caliphate of the first caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, a very fierce battle took place where Musaylimah Kadhab stood as the claimant of prophethood. And many other evils also arose in that era. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he fought against them and he preserved the honor of Islam. He hoisted the flag of Islam high during that time. Now, during this very fierce battle, many Huffaz Sahaba, those Sahaba who had memorized the Quran by heart, they attained martyrdom. Now, Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he suggested Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu to gather the entire Quran in one scripture. Why? Because many Huffaz Sahaba, they've attained martyrdom. And if this carries on and the Quran is not collected, is not gathered at one place, then there's a fear that the ummah will be deprived of a big portion of the Quran. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he suggested Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu to compile the Quran at one place in a form of a book so that it can be preserved. He agreed and he accepted the suggestion of Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. And then Katib-e-Wahi, another scribe of the Prophet, Hafiz-e-Quran companion Sayyidina Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu anh was given this task, where he collated all the scriptures, all the papers, all the sources of the verses of Quran, and they were compiled at one place. Again, dear viewers, this was the suggestions of Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anh during the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh. So this also shows the foresightedness of Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, how he played a vital role in preserving the Quran from this perspective as well, where the entire Quran was collated, was compiled in one manuscript, and it was preserved for the Ummah. Because initially, when the Quran was revealed, the verses of the Quran would be written on bones, on different papers, on different things. They were not written at one place. So the Sahaba, who were the scribes of the Prophet ﷺ, they would write the verses of the Quran as the Prophet ﷺ would dictate them on different things. Some would write on a piece of bone, some on a leaf, some on a piece of paper. So they were all scattered around initially. They were not all at the same place. So this initially took place during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, through the suggestion of Umar Farooq radiallahu anh, and Sayyidina Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu anh, who was a very prominent companion, who was a Katib-e-Wahi, the scribe of Prophet, and he was also a Hafiz of Quran. He had memorized the Quran by heart. So he performed this task duly, where the entire Quran was gathered at one place in the form of one manuscript. This was the greatness of Farooq Azam radiallahu anh in terms of preserving the Quran for the future generations. Now, dear viewers, another phenomenal feat of Farooq Azam radiallahu anh was that the new conquered areas, in those areas, Farooq Azam radiallahu anh started the teaching of Quran. He started those classes in which Quran was taught. And for this, Farooq Azam radiallahu anh would appoint special elite competent Sahaba, those individuals who were very, very highly educated in terms of the knowledge of Quran. They would be appointed for this very purpose, where they would teach the Quran, and a very reasonable salary stipend was also allocated for them. They were also given a good salary for this, so that all their other needs could be met. The other needs could be fulfilled, and they could solely concentrate on teaching the knowledge of Quran. Now, dear viewers, the second caliph of Islam, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, and the third caliph of Islam, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anh, they both would give salaries, good, reasonable salaries to the muadhins, to the imams, and to the teachers of Quran and Sunnah, and the qazis who would be appointed. This was also something amazing during the caliphates of Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, as well as Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anh, where the muezzins, imams, teachers of Quran and Sunnah, the qazis, they were paid very reasonable salaries. Now, dear viewers, just from here, you can imagine that how greatly Farooq Azam radiallahu anh executed the system through which Quran was preserved, because it is preserved through teaching. Now, special ulama, special teachers are appointed to teach the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah, and they are well looked after from financial perspective as well. Now, dear viewers, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, there were five Ansari companions who had gathered the Quran. Amongst them were Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal, Sayyidina Ubadah bin Samit, Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari, and Sayyidina Abu Darda ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Now, the time of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu came, and Yazid bin Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he wrote to Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu that due to a big number of the people of Sham, many cities have been inhabited now. Many cities have been dwelled now. So over here, there's a dire need of such people who can teach them the knowledge of Quran, so that they can make these people faqih. So please help me through sending such people who have this skill set, who can teach them the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah. Now Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu called these five companions and he said that your brothers from Sham, they've asked me for help, that I should provide them with a few men, with some people who can teach them Quran. May Allah shower mercy upon you. Three of you should help me. If you want, you may draw lots. And if you prefer, you may choose three people amongst you, yourselves. So amongst those five companions who were there, Mu'adh bin Jabal, Ubadah bin Samit, Ubay bin Ka'ab, Abu Yub Ansari, and Abu Darda, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So among these five companions, Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu asked that we would choose three people amongst you five. And he gave the option that we can draw lots or you can decide amongst yourselves that who those three people will be. So they said that we don't need to draw lots because Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu has become very old, very weak. And Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu also remains unwell. So this left three Sahaba behind, Mu'adh bin Jabal, Ubadah bin Samit, and Abu Darda, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And they all became ready to answer the call of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu and go to Sham and teach the people over there the knowledge of Quran. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu said to all these three companions that start your teaching from the city of Hims because you will find the nature of people to be different over there. Some people would learn the knowledge of Quran very quickly from you. When you see that people are acquiring the knowledge of Quran very easily, then one of you should stay there. Another one amongst you should leave for Damascus, and the third one amongst you should leave for Palestine. So all these three honorable Sahaba, they came to Hims and they stayed over there for as long as they were satisfied over people acquiring knowledge. So once they became satisfied that people are acquiring knowledge easily now, then Sayyidina Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anh, he stayed there, and Abu Darda radiallahu anh, he went to Damascus, and Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anh, went to Palestine. Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, we can see that how Farooq Azam radiallahu anh chose the best of the best amongst the Sahaba to answer the call of Yazid bin Abu Sufyan radiallahu anh to help the brothers in Sham who had now embraced Islam. Many new cities had been conquered. The number of Muslims that was increasing. Many people from Sham were coming in the folds of Islam. And now there was a dire need for someone to come and teach them the knowledge of Quran. So teaching them, this is one need, but for the one who comes to teach them, for that very individual to be a competent teacher, that was another dire need. So when Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, he was requested for this, when he realized the importance of this task, then he chose the best of the best. He sent three Sahaba to those cities who, subhanallah, willingly, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, went to those areas and propagated the teachings of Islam, two of whom then went further to Palestine and Damascus, and one stayed over there to ensure that the teachings of Quran and Sunnah are propagated and they are passed on from generation to generation. Dear viewers, we can see that today we have Islam in those regions. We have Islam all around the world. It is for the sake of these Sahaba, and Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu initiated this. This is how Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu laid these beautiful foundations for the preservation of the knowledge of Islam and for it to be passed on from generation to generation in its finest form. And Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he chose the best of the best, the best of the best Sahaba for this very task, who again, subhanallah, traveled in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilled this task. Now, dear viewers, another phenomenal task that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu executed was that he separated abrogated verses from the Quran, which are not recited anymore. Remember, dear viewers, that there are two types of abrogated verses. One is matlu and one is ghair matlu. Matlu abrogated verses are those who are still in the Quran, the verses that are still recited, but their ruling has been abrogated. The ruling of those verses is not acted upon, that has been abrogated, but those verses are still part of the Quran and are still recited. Then there is second type of abrogated verses, which are غير متلو, meaning those abrogated verses which are neither recited, neither are they part of the Quran, and nor is their ruling existent anymore. So their ruling is non-existent, they are not part of the Quran, and they are not recited anymore. So these are the two categories of abrogated verses. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, what he did was that he separated the second type, the غير متلو abrogated verses from the Quran. So those verses which are still part of the Quran, they're still recited as the verses of the Quran, but their ruling is not acted upon, their ruling has been abrogated, those verses are still part of the Quran. Those verses were still kept in the Quran by Farooq Azam radiallahu anh. But the second type of abrogated verses, غير متلو, that are not the part of Quran anymore, that are not recited anymore, and whose rulings do not apply anymore, these very verses, again Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, he separated these verses from the Quran. He radiallahu anh separated them, and those verses which are متلو, which are abrogated, the first form of abrogated verses, which is متلو, and the rest of the verses, they were separate. Another thing, dear viewers, what Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu was very mindful of was regarding the respect and honor of the Holy Quran. So along with preserving the verses of the Quran, the knowledge of the Quran, he radiallahu anhu was also very regardful in regards to the honor and etiquette of Quran. Now because of this, he radiallahu anhu wouldn't like thin publication of the Quran. So you can imagine, dear viewers, that if any text is written in thin words and small words, then the publication would also be smaller. But if it is written nicely in beautiful text, in bigger text, then the publication would also be slightly bigger and a bit thicker. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, because of this, wouldn't like a thin publication of the Quran. On the other hand, he would like a thicker publication of Quran, which is a bit more prominent, and the words are also written in a bigger form. So Sayyidina Abul Aswad radiallahu anh narrates that Farooq Azam radiallahu anh once, a copy of Quran was brought to Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, which was written with thin pen. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anh asked that ma hadha, meaning what is this? So he was told that this is the entire Quran, this is complete Quran. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anh disliked it. Whereas Farooq Azam radiallahu anh would normally become happy upon seeing the Quran, but seeing the copy of Quran written with thin pen, meaning a thinner publication, he radiallahu anh didn't like it. So he radiallahu anh, upon this, he reprimanded the one who had written this text, and he said to him that عَظِّمُوا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, meaning honor the book of Allah. So dear viewers, this is also very, very important for us as well, that we should also take a lot of care when it comes to respecting the Quran, honoring the Quran, as Farooq Azam radiallahu anh through this practice has also taught the Ummah, that you need to be considerate in regards to the Quran. Whenever the manuscript of Quran is there, the text of the Quran is there, the words of the Quran are there, the letters of the Quran are there, we should be very, very regardful and reverent in regards to them. It is not any ordinary book. It is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, he would be very, very regardful in this regard. And he radiallahu anh also taught us that we should also be considerate in this regard. At another occasion, dear viewers, Farooq Azam radiallahu anh taught us that what should be our approach regarding the Quran. He says that recite the Quran and ask Allah through its wasila, through its medium, before that a nation comes and recite the Quran and ask people through its medium, through its wasila. Allahu Akbar. Again, dear viewers, we should recite the Quran, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the wasila, through the medium of Quran. Again, Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, he told us that before the time comes when a nation recites the Quran and asks people through the wasila, through the medium of the Quran. Then, dear viewers, another thing that Farooq Azam radiallahu anh implemented was that the Quran should be recited in a beautiful tone. So, Farooq Azam radiallahu anh said, حَسِّنُوا أَسْوَاتَكُمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ, meaning that recite the Quran in beautiful voices. The second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, said to one person, Iqra ya fulanul hijr, meaning that also and so recite Surah Hijr. Upon this, he said, Your Eminence, you also know this chapter, meaning that you also know this chapter, you can also recite it. But Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu replied, Amma bimithli sawtika fala, meaning that I do not have a melodious voice like you. Allahu Akbar. Again, dear viewers, this is the humility of Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu, and teaching for the Ummah as well, the coming generations as well, that we should recite the Quran in the best of the voices, in melodious voices. We should try our utmost to beautify our voices whilst we are reciting the Quran. This is among the etiquettes, among the manners of reciting the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves when Quran is recited in beautiful voice. Now, dear viewers, let's talk about Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu and his love for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. How he radiallahu anhu preserved the hadith, and how he again taught the ummah that how cautious should we be in relation to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Musa bin Talha radiallahu anhu narrates that one person came in the court of Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu and asked him regarding rabbit. So Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu said that I dislike the fact of adding anything or reducing anything from hadith. That's why I will send you to someone who will guide you in this relation. Then Sayyidina Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu sent that person to Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu. When he asked Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu regarding it, then he radiallahu anhu replied, he told him that we were with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam at such and such place, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was presented with rabbit as a gift. So we also ate the meat of it. So dear viewers, we come to know that a shari'i ruling was here asked from Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu, but his cautious approach, look at his cautious approach, that he radiallahu anhu sent that person to Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, and how beautifully, out of humility and humbleness, he radiallahu anhu said that I dislike the fact of adding or taking anything out from a hadith. Whereas Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu himself, he is at the highest level of knowledge. He could have also mentioned the shari'i ruling, but he radiallahu anhu sends him to Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, who then guides him in relation to the shari'i ruling, what the questioner was asking about. This is the cautiousness, the cautious approach that Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu had, and this is the approach because of which deen was preserved, a hadith were preserved, and they were saved from being mixed up, and this is how this knowledge was transmitted ahead from generation to generation. Devious, this is the cautious approach of Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu, whereas he radiallahu anhu is one of the greatest scholars Islam has ever produced. He radiallahu anhu is the trendsetter, is the one who laid the foundations for many forms of knowledge that we acquire today. He radiallahu anhu played a vital role in preserving the Quran, in preserving a hadith, in establishing the foundations of fiqh and many other branches of knowledge that we acquire today. The way deen has been transmitted from generation to generation up until today to us, Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu has played a vital role in executing this ever so important task. Because just imagine that Islam was spreading in far and wide lands, and many people are embracing Islam, and the center of Islam was Madinatul Munawwara. That's where the Sahaba resided, that's where the knowledge was all gathered. Now, at other places, people are embracing Islam and they needed someone to guide them. Now, Sahaba, they migrated there. And which Sahaba migrated there? Those who were the most competent and elite companions. Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu chose the best of the best to send to those places. Now, for them to teach them and make them faqih so that they can teach to their offspring, their children and their next generations and so on and so forth. This was a very, very heavy task, very difficult task, which Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu executed duly. Dear viewers, Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu would be very strict on the fact if a hadith was presented to him, but yet no witness was presented to him, if a hadith was mentioned before him and there wasn't any witness or narrator, the chain of narrators presented to him, then Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu would be very, very displeased of this fact as well. Now today you can see, dear viewers, that when a hadith is mentioned, then the whole chain of narrators is also mentioned along with the hadith, and depending upon the chain of the narrators is based the degree of hadith, that how authentic the hadith is. Now, even if any hadith was presented to Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, if any witness was not presented along with the hadith to Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, then he radiallahu anhu would not like this fact. And he made sure that this message is conveyed clearly and in far and wide lands for the coming generations as well, that whenever a hadith is mentioned, then there should be witnesses of that hadith too. There should be narrators of that hadith too. Which is why, dear viewers, we have this entire system of the chain of narrators of hadith today. And this was during the time of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu as well. As you can imagine, that time was very close to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Many companions, A'imur Ridwan, they were those who had heard hadith directly from the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. There wouldn't be any other narrator between them and Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. The likes of Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, the likes of Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, the likes of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu and many other Sahaba. Now, even when the Sahaba of this stature, even when they would mention any hadith to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, then Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu would ask for a witness over that hadith. He would ask for narrator of that hadith. And this was a great precedence, dear viewers, which Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu set at that time, which was for the coming generations as well, which was for the teaching of the Ummah as well, that if hadith is being mentioned, it must be with the chain of narrators. It must be with the witnesses of that hadith. Otherwise, there would be many problems that would have faced by the Ummah in coming years. So this was again great wisdom and foresightedness of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, that he radiallahu anhu implemented, executed this approach during his era, where over any hadith which was mentioned before him, he would ask for the chain of narrators, he would ask for a witness of that hadith. Otherwise, dear viewers, there would have been many problems in the mentioning of a hadith after a few years. So we can see, dear viewers, that how deen, how Islam has been preserved and how has it been transmitted from generation to generation and reached us today. And very big credit of this goes to our master, our leader, the leader of faithful, the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, who executed all these approaches during his era, signifying the fact that if this approach is adopted in his era, where those Sahaba also exist who directly acquired knowledge from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then imagine how important it is for you to adopt this approach when you exist in an era which is centuries after, years after the era of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. So this is the mainstream traditional method through which knowledge is acquired, a method and even the knowledge which was preserved by none other than Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu. And this is another remarkable and amazing feat which Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu attained during his caliphate. We pray to Allah Almighty that may Allah Almighty shower His choicest of mercies and blessings upon Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu and forgive us all without accountability for His sake. Ameen. Bijahi Khatamin Nabiyin sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
The second caliph of Islam, عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه.